Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible.
During his life, King Nebuchadnezzar had encountered the God of Israel's power and was humbled by him. But 20 years after the death of the great empire builder, his grandson Belshazzar praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood and stone. One fateful night in 539 BC, not knowing that his kingdom is in jeopardy, King Belshazzar holds a feast with his household and 1,000 of his noblemen. The king demands all the gold and silver cups and vessels plundered from the Jewish temple be brought to the royal banquet hall. The opulent hall of the Babylonian royal palace is filled with revelers, feasting, drinking, and celebrating. Belshazzar, adorned in extravagant attire, sits at the head of the table, surrounded by his advisors and courtiers. Wine flows freely, laughter fills the air, and musicians play lively tunes. They fill the vessels taken from the Jewish temple with wine and drink from them, praising their false gods. The use of the articles from the Jewish temple is a blasphemous attempt for Belshazzar to relive the glory days of his kingdom, to recall the time when Babylon was conquering other nations instead of being threatened with annihilation. Cyrus, king of the Medo-Persian Empire, had already conquered several kingdoms and was known for his strategic military planning. With Babylon facing internal turmoil and potentially weakened defenses due to the extravagant feast, Cyrus is, at that very moment, positioning his troops and making preparations for an attack. Suddenly, a gust of wind sweeps through the hall, extinguishing the candles and plunging the room into darkness. Screams erupt as people stumble and bump into each other in the sudden confusion. The fingers of a disembodied man's hand appear, glowing with an eerie light, on the wall opposite the king's throne and his grandiose lampstand. It starts writing in large, fiery letters on the plaster.
What wine is this that makes me see the very hand of God writing on the wall before me?
'Tis rare wine indeed, for all in your presence have fallen under its power.
Nitrochris, do you see writing on the wall?
With mine own eyes.
What is this sorcery? Guards, seize whoever is behind this trickery.
But the guards stand frozen in fear, their eyes fixed on the glowing hand on the wall. The hand finishes writing and disappears as abruptly as it appeared. The light flickers back on, revealing the inscription on the wall in an unfamiliar script.
Guards, you heard your king. Find out who is behind this.
The guards scatter, searching for some unknown intruder. Meanwhile, the king stares transfixed at the writing on the wall.
Bring me a scribe who can read the handwriting of God. Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom.
Not far from the palace.
Daniel, come quickly.
What is it?
Take a look, it's the palace.
Shrouded in darkness.
What's the meaning of this? Just moments ago, it was all lit up.
And the music has stopped.
Just as I told you, my brothers, something is happening. Let us pray for strength and wisdom to bear whatever will befall us.
And now the lights have reappeared.
As sudden as that.
All the king's wise men, who had been invited to the celebration, are summoned, but they cannot read the writing or hazard an interpretation.
This is not written in our language, O king.
This is not the cuneiform.
not even that of the secret sect of Akkadiya priests.
O great Lord, this is not written in the hieroglyphics of the Egyptians.
The King of Kings, this is not the Elamite text.
O Mighty One, this is not the new script of the Phoenicians.
Your Highness, do not be mad, but none of us can decipher this. We cannot find meaning in these markings. It appears to be an unknown tongue, unlike any we have encountered in our studies.
What is the meaning of this?
Is there none in the kingdom who can make straight the crooked, who can make known the unknown, who can make plain the cryptic?
Who are these pretenders who claim to know how to unravel mysteries?
Perhaps these charlatans should be cast into a den of lions.
Indeed, sound the word.
O King, speak not in haste. There might be one in your kingdom who can solve this puzzle. There is in the land of Shushan a man named Daniel, a sage, a Hebrew captive, who is said to have given your father and grandfather much wise counsel. In this man is the spirit of the Holy God. He is a man of knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams, untangling riddles, and explaining enigmas.
Shushan, that is too far away. A journey of 3 moons at least.
I have it on good authority that Daniel is no more than 10 minutes from the palace gate. He is sharing a room with 3 other Hebrew magistrates.
Then why have you not sent for him? Depart from my presence and return not without this man.
At once, Your Highness.
Then Daniel was brought in before the king.
Are you the Daniel who is one of the captives whom my grandfather the king brought here from Judah? I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now, the Chaldeans and magicians and astrologers have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known its interpretation, but they could not. If you are really a man who can divine secrets, make this thing known to me, and I shall make you richer and more powerful than your wildest imagination.
Keep your gifts or give them to someone else, but I will tell you what the writing means. Your Majesty, the Most High God, gave sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. He made him so great that people of all races and nations and languages trembled before him in fear. But when his heart and mind were puffed up with arrogance, he was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven from human society. He was given the mind of a wild animal, and he lived among the wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven, until he learned that the Most High God rules over the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over them. You are his grandson, O Belshazzar, and you knew all this, yet you have not humbled yourself, for you have proudly defied the Lord of heaven and have had these cups from his temple brought before you. You have not honored the God who gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny. So God has sent this hand to write this message, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians.
How dare he say such insolent things to the king?
Silence. Clothe Daniel in purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and make a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom.
Even as Daniel was prophesying the end of the Babylonian Empire, the Medes and Persians had breached the security of the city walls and were marching toward the royal palace.
We're here. Fan out around the palace. Archers, find higher ground. On my command, we will collapse on the enemy from 3 flanks. Victory will soon be ours.
That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain, and the Babylonian Empire was delivered into the hands of the Medes and Persians. The life of Daniel, the Judean prophet, was spared, and he continued to live in Babylon as a friend and confidant of the new leader, Darius the Mede. The demise of King Belshazzar illustrates the truth of Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. The fact that Daniel remains, respected and influential, under the new ruler, embodies the enduring truth that humility precedes honor.